We are living in a day where moral anarchy is taking place before our eyes. And in the culture that we're living in, where we're throwing off all biblical authority and restraint. In recent weeks, our government has put pressure on the state of North Carolina as it's come out for a decree for school districts threatening to withhold federal funds from districts that do not comply to the transgender bathroom issue that we have created. It is a full court press on Americans to receive this wicked lifestyle that is rebellion against God. The Obama administration has announced that public schools must allow boys who identify as girls to use the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, meaning in effect that teenage girls must undress and shower in the presence of biological males. It is time to say, with all respect to the authority of the federal government, we refuse to comply with your mandate. Across the nation, parents and school boards and principals and administrators and teachers must say no to our government on this issue. They must do it for the sake of our children. Enough is enough. There's a time in our national history when our forefathers concluded rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God, launching the American Revolution. There was a time when apostles told the national leadership, we must obey God rather than men. And brethren, we are in the process of facing the narrative of the book of Judges, which in Judges says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. I'm stirred up tonight. I've been stirred up for the last few weeks on this issue. The hair on my neck is raising over this issue. I'm stirred up in my spirit about it because it's a smack in the face of my God and how He made mankind. He made them two genders. Do you understand today that on Facebook they have 56 different genders that you can mark? In fact, the latest has been you can mark your own and define what gender you are that's not listed if you don't fit into one of the 56. My God says He made two genders, male and female. He made them in the Scriptures. I'm stirred up because this particular issue will confuse the younger generation and cause them to have to live with this wickedness day in and day out. I'm stirred up about it. You ought to be stirred up about it. I'm stirred up about it because it preaches toleration and acceptance of sin and rights where God says we're to hate evil. It's weakening our culture, and it's weakening Christians as well. I'm stirred up because I have children that at times need to use a public restroom. And I'm just not real interested in them going in where there's going to be a pervert. I'm sorry. I'm stirred up about it. You ought to be stirred up about it. Even if you don't have children, you ought to be stirred up about it. I'm stirred up about it tonight because of children who, when asked if they have a daddy, will have to answer, well, he was one. But now he's a lady. God help us. Or I had a mommy, or I have a mommy, but she wants to be a man. I'm stirred up tonight because this takes men out of their roles and women out of their God-given roles. I'm stirred up about it because it's one step closer to God giving America over to their vile affections. I'm stirred up about it because as Christians, we've helped this movement forward by cross-dressing. The church has. We've caused this. We've propelled this forward because of the cross-dressing even amongst Christians. It's important that we as believers do not become desensitized or go along with the evil of the day. The sword of the Lord came out. I don't know if you read portions of the sword or not, but at the bottom of the first page, the front page, the latest issue, it says the American College of Pediatricians warned legislators and educators on March 21st to reject all policies that condition children to accept transgenderism as normal, adding that attempts to normalize a condition classified as a mental illness is child abuse. That's the American College of Pediatricians. That's not Christianity speaking. That's people that work with children in our secular world. And they say, if we're forcing our children to accept this, we're committing child abuse. They call it a mental illness. I call it sin from the bottom of the heart. In Psalm 119, verse 104, the Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. My goal tonight for Christians is to educate you in the Scriptures on this issue so that you grow a holy hatred for this false and evil way. That's one of my goals in the message. In Psalms 119, 128, he says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The Wall Street Journal came out with an article. It was updated May 13, 2016, which was 2 days ago. This is written by a man by the name of Paul McHugh. Paul McHugh is the former chief psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins University Hospital and is the author of a book that was published in 2008. In his article, he talks about the idea that advocates for the transgendered have persuaded several states, including California, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, to pass laws barring psychiatrists, even with parental permission, from striving to restore natural gender feelings to a transgender minor. Advocates have swayed to where if a child is struggling with this, a psychiatrist with parental permission can't even help them to understand that they've been born a certain way and that they should stay in that gender. He goes on to say, we at Johns Hopkins University, which in the 1960s was the first American medical center to venture into sex reassignment surgery, launched a study in the 70s comparing the outcomes of transgender people who had the surgery with the outcomes of those who did not. And he goes on to say the effects of that. The study revealed that beginning about 10 years after having the surgery, the transgendered began to experience increasing mental difficulties. How would you like to have somebody walk in the bathroom of the ladies that you have at a public place and they've been messed up for 10 years in this and their mind's corrupted and they're wasted mentally according to the statistics and they're in the same restroom with your daughters. God help us. It goes on to say that most shockingly their suicide mortality rose almost 20-fold above the comparable non-transgender population. These people have deeper problems than what we see on the surface. And so what did Johns Hopkins do? They discontinued the surgery, thank God. Wish other hospitals would do that. You say, preacher, what does God have to say about it? I'm glad you ask. I want to give you a number of points on this front tonight. The transgender lifestyle is rebellion against God. First and foremost, it is rebellion against God. From the beginning of time, when God created mankind, He created them distinctly, male and female. Genesis 1:27 teaches us that truth, but that's not the only passage that teaches us that. Look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 2. Genesis chapter 5. He brought it out in the Old Testament, and He brought it out in the New Testament, and His mind has never changed. I'm thankful that when He made me as a man. And God has fearfully and wonderfully made every human being, and He has a plan for them in their gender. He made them male and female. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 2. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. In Mark chapter 10 and verse number 6, it refers to these passages in Genesis. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Over and over again, He points this out in the Scriptures. He's clear in it. God didn't leave it open for debate. God didn't leave it open for change. God said, I made them from the very beginning. I established this order. There's going to be males and there's going to be females. And I'm going to create them that way. You understand, part of the rebellion is the evolution mindset today. See, if there's creation and there's a creator, then I'm responsible to a creator. But if I evolved over millions and millions of years from a tadpole or a monkey, then I have no accountability. I can live my life. I can make the changes in my body that I want to make. But God said, I created you male and female. This transgender lifestyle is rebellion against God. Gender is God-given. It's not self-constructed. In fact, even the authors write, you can get all kinds of physical body changes made in a surgical room, but it will not change your biological structure as you being a man or a woman. God created gender. He only created two. It's sin that drives a person in this direction. Rebellion against God, the transgender lifestyle, secondly, is prohibited by God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. And brethren, I'm warning you, preachers that are going to declare this, the hotter the battle gets, they're not going to be preaching it. They're not going to be in the pulpits in America. If they're willing to shove it down our school district's throat, you can dead level bet they're going to come into the church on this. But the Bible doesn't change. And God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bruce Jenner may say it's okay, but God shouts a loud, clear, no, it's not. Our government may pressure for tolerance, but God says no. Our government may force man's sinful choices on others to bear, but God says it's unrighteous, it's sin. These people shall not inherit the kingdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That's people immorally involved outside the bounds of marriage. Nor idolaters. That's people that worship other gods. Nor adulterers. That's people that are married but are immorally involved outside the bounds of their marriage. It goes on and says, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What is an effeminate person? It's a person, it's a man that has qualities of a female. It's somebody that wants to act like a female. That's a problem. The Bible says that's a problem. That person is unrighteous. That person is living in sin against God. That person is violating what God set up for his life. He's effeminate. He's weak. He's soft, is what the Bible's saying here. I want you to get this. To rebel against the gender is to rebel against the roles that God has given for the genders. Men and women were created to fulfill differing roles from creation. A rejection of your gender is a rejection of your role. When you were made as a man, there were some things that God put in a man, such as protection. God made man to be a protector. God made man to be a provider. We know that throughout the Scriptures. We know that if you don't provide, according to the New Testament, you're worse than what? An infidel. The man of the home is supposed to do that. God made a man to work. God made a man to provide. God made a man to protect. When somebody is running from their gender, somebody is running from their God-given purpose for their whole life. It's not just a gender change. It's not just transgender. It's you're running from what God had set up for you for your whole life. It's prohibited by God. Women were made to be a help. Women were made to bear children, nurture them. Women were made to have a meek and a quiet spirit. Women were made to be known for their modesty. They were not made to be like a man, talk like a man, dress like a man. Women were made by God to meet the needs of the family and reach out to others. Study Proverbs 31. Men were made to lead. Men were made to love their wives and sacrifice themselves for their family. Study Titus chapter 2. You'll find a real good explanation of the roles. And brethren, this transgender thing in our country is far-reaching. It's not just reaching into our bathrooms. It's reaching into our roles as to who people are and what they do in our society. Rejecting those God-assigned roles is a symptom of rebellion against our Creator. And when people defy God and decide they can live any way they choose, God allows them to follow their perverted lusts to its natural consequences. May I just remind us tonight, women, you ought to talk like women. And men, you ought to talk like men. Boy, when I meet a man out in the world that doesn't talk like a man, there is something that it does to me. It rubs me the wrong way. Ask my wife. I can't get it off my mind. My wife says, honey? I said, no, honey. So the transgender lifestyle is prohibited by God. It's in rebellion against God. But the transgender appearance is an abomination to God. I want to read you an article that I came across in my research from Bishop McDevitt High School. Anybody heard of that high school before? Okay, north of us a little bit. Bishop McDevitt, this is on ABC 27 News, responds after banning a girl from prom for wearing a tux. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Bishop McDevitt High School has explained why a female student was kicked out of Friday's prom for wearing a suit. School officials said in a statement that Wolf did not follow prom dress code, which was established months in advance. The dress code for the prom specified girls must wear formal dresses. It also stated that students who failed to follow the dress code would not be admitted. The full dress code policy was sent to parents about 3 months ago. A reminder was sent to all students on March the 6th. On Friday afternoon, when it was brought to the attention of the school administration that a female student was planning to wear a tuxedo, we contacted her mother in hopes we could resolve the situation. Listen to this. This is the young lady. Wolf said she is a lesbian and has dressed in slacks for school for years. She said her classmates have always accepted her for who she is and never had an issue until prom night. What she was saying is, I'm a woman, but I want to look like a man. They got it figured out. She's got it figured out. And you know what the school district said? No! You're not going to look like a man. How come a school district can see it, but Christians can't see it? And us looking like the opposite gender is feeding the transgender culture. We're feeding it as Christians. God help us. Teaching new to the church class, we walk over the dress code of the church. And we do have a dress code. And it's good. And I believe it follows the biblical principles involved. I'm getting ready to add to it, for men, no dresses. Why not? Everybody can see that. Everybody, hopefully in our church, can see. Dresses on men, you got to be crazy. But when we talk about slacks on women, Pastor, you can't talk about that. Yeah? And we're feeding this transgender culture by cross-dressing right within our own ranks. God help us. And the Scripture still says that when we do that, it is an abomination unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5. And it's amazing to me that a public school student can see it. A public school student says, I want to wear my tux to show my manhood, even though I'm a woman. And the school district said, no, you're not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's not only talking about dress, it's talking about hair. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Appearance is important to God. The transgender appearance is an abomination to God. I want to give you something else about transgender. The transgender choice violates God's claim on your body. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're losing our distinction. We're losing our roles. And people are losing their bodies that God made. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, our world's going downhill. I expect it to continue to go downhill. Without God and without Christ and without restraint, things are only going to get worse. But you know what really stirs me up? Is when Christians try to defend this stuff. It really boils my blood that a blood-bought child of God, whom God redeemed, whom the Bible says is bought with a price, a great price, may I say, can stand up and defend the use of the body and the corruption of the body in the way that they do. Listen, Christians, God has a claim to your body and my body. He bought us with a price. work to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which is God's. We inhabit our God-created bodies as vessels of delight, temples of the Holy Spirit. The body's made by God. I'm to use my body for God's purposes. How in the world can someone claim to be a Christian and then say, well, I kind of see it from the transgender side of things? They don't know their Bible. And truth of the matter is, they don't want to know their Bible. There's something else that I want you to see. And that is, the transgender lifestyle is a satanic attack on God's order and design. You see, in the beginning, Adam was the head of his wife, but he relinquished that relationship when he allowed Satan to tempt his wife, and when he let his wife lead him to eat the forbidden fruit. She violated structure. And every time God sets up order and structure, Satan wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy it in the church. He wants to mess up the structure of the church. He wants people out of place. He doesn't want leadership in the church. He doesn't want leadership in the home. He wants to mess up and corrupt government at its highest levels. He's at destroying order and structure. That's what Satan's at. That's why he rips apart homes, because then the structure is all upset. And in this case, in the transgender lifestyle, it's an attack on God's order and God's structure. When we listen to Satan, pain and brokenness follow. We see the profound tension between God's design and Satan's intention. The Lord created man and woman to fill specific roles and to meet specific needs. Thank God He made male and female. He made male and said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make an helpmeet. I'll make somebody that will fulfill the needs of the man, will complement the man, will make him complete. That's why He made female. And so now we have ladies that are leaving ladyhood to jump over into manhood and vice versa, messing up God's structure and order. God never had it in mind like that. I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. The transgender desire is rooted in unrestrained lust. Listen to me very careful, because if you get into an argument with someone on this front, you're going to have to know this. They argue that this particular problem, this gender identity problem, this gender dysphoria, now they call it, was inborn in a person. That they were born with a chromosome or something that was off, that are now giving them desires for this. No, they were born with sin. That's what they were born with. They were born with a bent to do wrong. And anybody that fills this desire in their heart, it's not a medical issue, it's a sin issue. Romans chapter number 1, I want you to begin following with me as I read in verse number 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Notice the next phrase. Neither were thankful. Parents, let me get you something that will help your kids and stay away from this whole mess. That is, teach your children to be thankful for the way that God made them. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me the way I am. If God made me that I need glasses, God made me that way. I'm a fearfully and wonderfully made person. This coming Saturday, Brother Ab Thomas will be with us. His son has, what's the word I'm looking for? Down syndrome. On Sunday morning in Sunday school next week, I'll take a break from the cults. Brother Thomas and his son co-preach a message. Brother Thomas is going to stand up and preach half the message, and then his son with Down syndrome is going to stand up and preach the other half of the message. You know what? A Down syndrome child is fearfully and wonderfully made. Young men, if you've been made a young man, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Be thankful. The people that head down the road that we're talking about tonight are unthankful people. They do not appreciate the way God made them. They want something else. They're discontented people. And they are not glorifying God in it. The Bible paints that very specific picture in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they took the glory of God and they changed it into beasts. All right? Verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the glory of God in verse 23, but they changed the truth of God in verse 25 into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Can I ask you an honest question tonight about the transgender culture? Do you think that they are serving the Creator or the creature? They're serving the creature. Which again, God prophesied of 2,000 years ago in Scripture. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change what? The natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Does it sound like our culture today? How specific is the Word of God? How pinpoint accurate is it to point out, and God told about it 2,000 years ago in the Scriptures, that indeed this is how people are going to live. That know Me, but they do not glorify Me as God. That are not thankful people. That change the glory of God. That change the truth of God. And what does God say? I give them up to it. Go have at it. But look at verse number 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's a last point I want to give you tonight about the transgender culture, and that is this: the lifestyle is sure to bring God's judgment. I have another article with me tonight. I just want to give you the title, if I can find it in my pile here. This is an article in 2013, updated February 2nd of this year. Transgender women, plural, 49 times more likely to have HIV, study says. We just learned that they're 20 times escalated in suicide attempts after 10 years. We just learned that they have tremendous mental illness. Is the Scripture not accurate when it says they that are worthy of death? And God brings judgment. What's sad is that this lifestyle is going to bring judgment on the people that are involved in it specifically. But Christians, may I be very honest with you tonight? That judgment goes beyond that. That judgment's going to come on our country. It's sure to bring God's judgment. Instead of yielding their body to the Lord and their members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, they have yielded their bodies to their lusts. When the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, your members of your body, it means to count them as dead so that they do not respond to the lusts that are in your heart. That is not being done. Every person born has disordered desires because of sin, and the transgender desire is no different. And so, you say, preacher, how should a believer respond to this situation? Number one, you should stand against it. I go back to the verses about hating evil. Psalm 97, verse 10 says this, "Ye that love the Lord, what is one of the fruits of loving the Lord? Hate evil." I'm not saying hate the person. I'm saying we hate the evil. The fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 8, verse 13, is to hate evil. Brethren, we are getting into a culture where it's almost, you can't talk about hating anything anymore. You get upset about anything, and you're the one that's wrong. That is not Bible preaching. Bible preaching and Bible teaching and what the Bible says is we are to have a hatred for some things. There's some things that ought to bother us. They ought to stir us emotionally. They ought to cause us to move and speak up and be bold. You ought to stand against it. First response, you ought to stand against it. The object of hatred in these passages is not a person, but it's evil. We need to hate the evil. How do I deal with someone who's living a transgender lifestyle and claims to be a Christian? You need to take them to 1 John chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 deals with somebody that is habitually involved in sin. And it says of that person is not a righteous person. Or a person that's living in a habitual lifestyle of sin, it doesn't bother them, they can go on in it, they need to check their salvation. You need to walk them through that. You need to show them that the lifestyle is wrong. It's prohibited against God. It violates the principle that God owns their body. Effeminacy is one of the sins that God says shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is not blurry in the Bible. It's very clear. You need to show them with love what the Scripture says so that they can be confronted by the Scripture. You should study the Scripture so you know what you believe and can defend it. What's happening is this is coming on so fast, folks. It's hitting us so fast, hitting our culture so fast, hitting us at our workplaces that we're being caught with our guard down. That is, we're not sharp. We don't have the Scriptures at the tip of our tongue. We don't have the principles ready to shoot back and say, whoa, wait a second. Can I share something with you? Can I share what God thinks about that? We've got to be that way. It's the culture in which we live. We've got to be that way. That's why I take time to preach a message on it. So that you can take notes. So that you can see the Scriptures. So that you can mark them. So that you can be fresh. That when it comes your way, you don't just get onslaughted with it and walk away saying, man, I wish I would have said something. I wish I would have spoken up. I wish I would have stood in the gap for God. So that you can be equipped to do so. How should a believer respond? He should be salt. You know what? If a transgender is around you, they ought to see your family and want what you have in your family. They'll say, boy, maybe I'm heading down the wrong road. Because look at this family. This family has the joy of the Lord. This family, they get along with one another. There's a peace. I can see it. I can see their countenance. There's something that I want that I don't have that they have. Salt. Salt has content. Salt has contact. It contacts. It makes contact. Brethren, these people aren't people to shy away from. That's the tendency of Christians. I don't want to be around them. They need Christ. They need somebody to touch their life. They need somebody with truth and care to just treat them with truth and love. So what we find with Christ, with the publicans, who everybody said, man, stay away from. And so we should be salt. We should stand. Parents, I encourage you to contact your local public school this week, whether or not you have a kid in it. I encourage you to contact them. And with respect and firmness, state your position clearly and urge your school district to stand for what we've had in America for 200 years. I urge every student to be kind to their fellow students, but hold fast to that which is right. Don't budge on what you've been taught from the Scriptures. Stand strong on it. I urge you to boycott stores and restaurants that are supportive of this position. Brethren, we've got to send a message. And there are ways that we can send messages. Or we can go. But that's not being salt. And that's not impacting our culture. And brethren, if Christians don't begin to stand up and say something, we're going to lose everything. We're losing it. I encourage you to write some notes. I'm going to call this representative. I'm going to call the local district. I'm going to sign a petition to boycott this place. Why? To send a message. We're not going along with our culture. And lastly, we should pray. Some rarely hit an altar here. And I don't look at that as you necessarily being unspiritual. But my invitation tonight is not primarily to somebody that's transgender in our church, though if you are, I'd like to talk to you. I would like to help you. You can be helped through that. And we want to help you. But my primary invitation tonight is for believers to come and pray for our country, to pray for our governors, to pray for our states, our school districts, and more importantly, pray for Christians to stand. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The other part of my invitation that I want to give tonight is, brethren, if we lose thankfulness, we have started down the same path, whether we recognize it or not. We need to be thankful people to God. That's what glorifies God. And so tonight, when I give an invitation in just a moment and the pianist comes, 2 points to the invitation. Number one, would you pray for America tonight? Do you see the scene as clearly as what the Bible sees it? Is it enough to motivate you to pray, maybe to bow a knee and pray for our country? You know, you have a governor in North Carolina, I think it's a lieutenant governor in Texas tonight, that have a lot of pressure on their shoulders. You think you have pressure in your life, they have whole states on their shoulders tonight. And they have all kinds of people pushing buttons behind the scenes that we don't see saying, bend, break, give in, we need the money. That's what they're living in tonight, brethren. And we need to pray for them. If I was in that situation tonight, I'd want somebody praying for me. I'd want believers holding me up that God would give me courage to stand in an evil day.